This is the Lattice Training Podcast, where we bring you the best in climbing performance and training from the world's elite athletes, thought leaders, and coaches.
Hello to everyone listening on the podcast today. We come in with a news flash of the moment, just happened episode, because I have got in, I was going to say in the room with me, but he's most definitely not in the room. He's over in Switzerland at the moment. But we've got Aidan Roberts, who has just made the second descent of Alphen, which is a Font 9A or V17 in USA money, over in Coronico, and he has kindly taken some time out of his evening and rest day to come and chat to us about the project, the preparation, everything that kind of led up to it. So welcome to the episode, Aidan.
Oh, no, thank you. And thanks for welcoming me into this virtual room. Nice to be here.
Well, what we're going to try and do in terms of structure and breakdown is we're going to talk a little bit about your kind of history with the problem and how you prepared for it. And then some of the basic details around things like the grade, number of sessions that went into it, how the sections break down. I always think that's kind of like nice geeky stuff for people to understand and kind of visualize how the problem works. Then we'll talk a little bit about the trip that you are on at the moment. And obviously you've been really successful already within the trip. Some thoughts around other Font 9As, see how controversial we get on that, and next projects and things. And then at the end, we're also going to answer some audience questions that we put out on our Instagram today to see what they wanted to ask you personally, because I know the people out there have lots of different questions that probably me and you wouldn't think of.
Yeah, that sounds perfect. Yeah, that sounds good.
Let's sweet. Jump in. Okay, so let's go back a little bit in history. I mean, not that far.
I'm not too old yet.
Yeah, no. Can you tell me a bit about how you came across the problem, first of all, who you tried it with, you know, what were your sort of first initial encounters with it?
Yeah, it was actually, so I came out to Switzerland for a 2 month long bouldering trip in March and April. And I didn't really I had a list of boulders that I really wanted to try, but I didn't really have like a specific agenda of like, there was basically my list of boulders, which I wanted to try were just like, it ended up being pretty much every climb around here. Like there was like no end to it. And I knew I wouldn't get around all of them. They were just like, I was really motivated for all of these. And then I got here, I had like a, I had a few weeks where I was mainly climbing in Brioni, and we came to Coronico a few times. Brioni is just a neighboring valley of Coronico. And then about a month into the trip, I met up with Sean and the people he was climbing with. So it's like Sean Rabatou, the first ascensionist of Alphen. And it was like Sean, Daniel, it was the whole like kind of American North Face crew. There was like a collaboration between like Mello and North Face. So it was like all that crew from there, and Giuliano, the local guy who lives just over the valley. So I started climbing with them quite a bit. And I'd heard of this project, which Sean was getting pretty close to. So at that point, he hadn't done it, and he'd he'd had his like breakthrough sessions by then, I think is how I described it, where he'd like essentially done the last hard hand move and there's like a hard foot transition at the end. Yeah. And he'd been falling off that, I think a couple of sessions. So he was obviously getting really close.
And how long had he been trying it for until that point, do you know?
I'm not sure. Just that trip, or? No, because I don't think it was just, so basically back in about a year ago now, back in October, was when Will Bosey, who's on the strip with me now, so Will, Dave Graham and Sean Rabatou, I think were some of the early, I know Dave Graham found these, like scouted these projects back in like 2005 years ago, and he did the first ascent of the Alphane Moon, which is a different problem, like an 8A to the right of it, on right hand side of the face. And so Sean, Dave and Will on their trip, they kind of were like putting sessions in to like develop this like face and like kind of figured out the moves. So like, I think it was still very much a concept at that point. So it's kind of like navigating ways in which to understand these features. So it's quite complex, and perhaps the way you end up doing it isn't initially, well, it feels intuitive to me because when I got there, Sean was really close. So he was like doing it that way. And, like it's not necessarily that intuitive if you just face with that bit of rock. So yeah, I think it was mainly those guys who started like understanding the climb a bit and like kind of making it accessible. But I don't think Sean was here from that October all the way through to, he did it at the start of April.
Okay, yeah.
I think he was, I think he might have gone away in the past, but I know he like tried it a bit then, like figuring out the moves, and then came back with the whole crew, and they were all really motivated for it, and they were trying it a lot.
So it was everyone that was trying it, and it was like a good group of people all sharing beta and working out the best ways to do it. Yeah,
I think it was that like a collective mind of very good climbers trying to figure out all of these moves. So yeah, essentially I started climbing with them. I climbed with them a bit in Brioni, and then they like just would like come and try this thing with us. So it was really nice, that crew. Actually, they're really welcoming and encouraging, and like they're not very possessive about bits of rock in the slightest. So they were like really happy to like share methods and like just like go for it. And the first session I had on it was actually the session Sean got through the hard bolt, and there's like a 7C plus exit crack system. Nobody actually jams a crack. I'm sure you'd find one, Tom.
Don't worry, we will be getting onto that. Outrageous.
Yeah, I know. I thought you'd be devastated by that.
I mean, I am. Let's be honest about it.
But yeah, he basically got through all of that and dropped like the very last bit, which is like really not so bad. Like right at the very end, like kind of like he was on good holds, or like that section really isn't too bad, but he was like reaching for like what is like a legitimate like jug. So he was really close that day, and he fell off that day up there, and actually had another good go away, nearly got to the same place. But he then had a few sessions where I think maybe conditions had been slightly worse, or just things were going on wrong in the moves. And then he actually did it like the day before his flight back to the US. I think it was like really good timing for him. But it was really cool because I think that helped, because my first introduction to that had all of like the enthusiasm of that group and all of the information about the climb and all the different options. I actually ended up climbing it a very different way to how most people are trying it. But it was like really cool. They could like show me what it was, and it was really inspiring to watch him like basically almost do it on that first day. And I didn't come to Switzerland to like invest time into one climb. But this climb's really cool. Like it's kind of like, so the first session I had on it, I did all the moves.
Session.
Yeah. I did all the moves in the first session, but they like felt pretty hard.
And was that with Sean's beta, or was it with a sort of hybrid of
what? No, this was with the beta that I used. So I tried Sean's beta as like a really close heel, which it feels quite awkward for me. And then other people are using like a foot clamp lower down. And then the bit that I do differently is a bit higher up. As essentially I kind of like reduce a few, one hand move and a couple of foot moves. But you get really extended off a toe. So it's really like body tension-y to keep like your weight in that foot. But it suited me quite well. So I found that in the first session. But the moves themselves felt really hard, but the climb is cool. I think like the progression on this climb I've found throughout my experience has been like amazingly linear, or like more so than I've found on other like projects, in that you go from like doing the moves but they feel hard like suddenly you can do like a move and a foot transition, and then you can do like two moves, and then like you can start like piecing together these little links, and it seemed to just every session like be building on that. And I was pretty much felt like I was linearly getting better, but the thing that was really cool is like it's fun in that it's not like the thing to give out is your body feels too tired or your fingers are tired, and it's not so much, it's not really so bad on your skin. It's like a really good training border. Like you come away from every session just feeling like physically wrecked, but not in like a, not in like, oh, this boulder is breaking me. Like I'm well trained kind of thing, which is rare on hard climb. And so like my every experience I had on the boulder was just like really positive. And so I just looked forward to every session. So I didn't really go into it thinking like when I got there, I wasn't like, I'm going to project this. It was like every session, the thing that I wanted to do was to go and try that. And it was getting quite hot by the end time I was leaving.
And what were the things in that first trip where you'd tried it and you like obviously done all the moves and everything like that? Which were the bits of it where you went, oh, that's really my thing and it's my bag straight off? And were there other parts of it where you were like, I need to do some work on it, or it doesn't quite suit me so much? How did that work? Because there's a lot of moves.
And yeah, there's
really,
a lot of
really
moves.
Complex as well.
Yeah, it's a really complex climb. So the actual, just for the information on the boulder, the actual like number of hand moves in the hard section of climbing before you get to like the better holds for like the exit 7C plus, there's kind of like only really eight. I think I do it in like eight moves and a hard foot move. Well, actually, lots of the foot moves are hard, but it's only like eight hard hand moves. But for these moves, there's so many different features which you can use for your feet, and they're all quite vague. And basically, the body tension is like such a major part of it. And so you have so many options. So I think because there's so many options of like the way you hold the holds or the way you place your feet, it gives you the freedom to like kind of make the climb your style. I mean, not entirely like, but there were a lot of options to do so. And I think the method that I found just felt like it didn't suit me perfectly. Like the holds aren't usually like, I would do better on like smaller, more in-cut holds where you can like generate force away from the wall, and you can't do that so much. But like, I think I still use the way I usually climb on those really small holds, to kind of keep weight and feet in quite awkward positions. And essentially the way I climbed it was a lot more like, it was like statically locking between holds, which usually works quite well for me, even if they're not in-cut crimps. So like I was able to adapt the climb to my own style because of that.
Are you suffering from chronic disease? Or maybe you're trying to live to 120 and optimize your health. Either way, the Your Health, Your Story podcast is for you. My name's Casper Schultz, and I've been traveling the world meeting with top doctors and experts in medicine and health with amazing discoveries that are making the incurable curable. I decided I had to share these stories to empower others who are seeking solutions but just couldn't find them. So join us for weekly enlightening discussions on how to beat chronic disease and live an incredibly healthy life that you won't hear about elsewhere.
Pretty cool that.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool.
I always think a lot of things right at the limit, you will often have to climb in the style or the way that it was established or put up. But things where, you know, everyone can come at it with a different angles, it's really nice.
Yeah. No, it makes it very accessible. And like, I think because, I mean, you can, or off stat pads, you can try most of the moves. It's relatively safe if you have enough pads. Like it's very like approachable. It is really cool.
How would you say Daniel's sort of approach or sort of movement on it compared to yours and Sean's was it Was he more like Sean? Do you think considered more like you?
Daniel. So I think Daniel, he played around with a few different methods. And so I worked on it quite a bit with Daniel. There was a section in the middle where it was actually super annoying. Like he had this split that just like opened and then like looked like it had healed and would open instantly with only a go. And it happened for like 2 weeks. Like, I mean, he was a patient guy. I'd have been getting frustrated, but he seemed pretty calm about it. So it was kind of like, it was quite an annoying old process for him, but he was, I think he ended up settling on the method that I ended up doing it, with like the, foot out, but he, the foot out to the right. But for most of the time he was working on it, he was kind of using a bit of a fusion. So he was still using like, rather than using the heel, he was using the foot clamp I use. But then after that move, he was then reverting to the method which Sean was doing it, where you like transition your feet to the left, do an extra hand move, and then transition your feet again. But yeah, I think he was like a bit undecided, but I think he's now decided that he was going to commit to the way that I was trying it. So it's cool. Yeah, there's a lot of options, and they don't seem to, it's cool that they don't seem to differ that much, or like they suit people differently. So like Will this trip was initially trying the way that I was trying it, and didn't even try the heel. It looked quite unlikely, the heel, and was trying the method that I was using. And then actually the session I did it, he was trying the heel method, Sean's way. Mm. And that was like a breakthrough session for him. He like did that move which he'd been struggling on off the clamp with the heel quite quickly, and then was making really good links using the same without using keeping the foot. Like he basically changed both sections of it to Sean's method. And like so like it's cool how like it doesn't seem to, it just seems to be a case of what suits who, and a bit of preference.
Yeah. And after that first trip that you had, you came back from it and came back to the UK, and I'm guessing that you had a sit down with Ollie about training and what you were going to do to sort of prepare for, you know, subsequent trip and get some stuff in place so that you would have a better chance next time you returned. What did that process look like for you and Ollie? Do you sort of sit down and kind of break it all down, or do you do it like dial right into specifics and just go, right, this is the area I know that I need to kind of get a little bit more out of? How does that process look for you?
Yeah, Ollie did good actually at the end of that process. Basically, it's been a theme that often I don't like stop that much, or like I'm not that good at just taking some time off. So he managed to persuade me to like take like a week off after that trip.
A whole week,
which was really nice. and like kind of, and also in the aftermath of that whole week to like ease into climbing in a very like casual manner. So like not with the same vigor of like project mode. And it was quite hard to stop because basically it got just too warm by the end of my season. When I tried it in spring, it just like, it was like, like I was saying before, that linear progression, it got better and better until a point where I high pointed, and then it rained and warmed up and was humid and like regressed basically after that for like, I think I had 2 weeks up until I high pointed, and then it like I dropped off and never got back there, which was quite strange. And I was like, obviously like psychologically that's a bit like ugh. but I was actually, the cool thing about it, I was actually still enjoying every session, and like it felt a very positive experience, which kind of surprised me. But after that, I was actually climbing on really good form. I went to FNA, another place, on the way back home when I was driving back, and was climbing really well. So it's hardest for me to stop when I know I'm climbing really well. And I was actually climbing. I climbed really well. I had a couple of days over there. But yeah, anyway, I stopped. Ollie managed to persuade me to do nothing. Then we had a sit down and kind of, we didn't get too like grand scale of what I wanted to do initially. I started being a bit more specific about the projects that I was hoping to do. And we started scheduling some of them in and adapting some training towards each of them. So I did a load of, I got back into some actually really good form. I was probably climbing the best I ever had on my board in like July. In preparation, I did a little road trip to Scotland for a week and was like developing climbs up there. Annoyingly injured my finger on that trip.
Oh yeah, you did, didn't you? Yeah.
Yeah. Which was frustrating. Yeah. My middle finger on my left hand. And so that kind of like stopped play on like the board, but that was actually a good time. I'd been doing a lot of shoulder training in that phase as well. And Isles of Wonder, the sit start to Isles of Wonder, was like a really big project that me and Ollie had discussed, and because of something I was really inspired by. And that worked perfectly. It was actually like, it's quite comfy on the left hand, that whole thing. And like incredibly physical. It's like a really shouldery sequence I ended up doing, committing to. And so that training translated really well to that. And we'd had that in mind when we'd done lots of the training, because the way I climb Alphane as well is also like a lot of that shouldery tension stuff. So I managed to do that in my Wales trip. And then
this for anyone, for anyone listening, this is a, I kind of have to point this out to some of the international audience because they don't know the wonders of our British bouldering. Yeah. It's a, 8C plus sit down start to a problem in, it's in North Wales, isn't it?
Yeah, Ogwen Valley in North Wales. Yeah,
and I think is there a video of you trying it or doing it on Instagram where people can kind of grasp the shouldery, because that move that you do on your shoulders, I mean, I've seen a lot of things, but that's pretty bonkers.
It's pretty brutal. That was it's a video on YouTube of me when I do the stand, I try the sit start. That was actually this process was something which like really restored like a bit of like faith in the value of specificity. So
Training specificity.
Yeah, training specificity. So we'd been doing a lot of like general shoulder conditioning work. But I also had set up a replica and I was like, it wasn't very regular. I think we had one replica session per week at that point. And the replica session itself wasn't particularly long because it was basically just this one move I'd been trying. And I think I only had like four or five, like half sessions trying it, like half an hour trying it or so. But from the year before where it was literally like I could have three or four goes on that shoulder move. And that was using a heel to assist. The heel was like a bit of a red herring. It made the shoulder move less intense, but then you couldn't move from it. And I'd have three or four goes maybe. And then I'd have DOMS for like 4 days in my shoulder and not my back. Like I just couldn't do anything. And when I set up this replica, it kind of initially replicated that feeling as well. It would be like, oh, well, I can barely train properly. My back's so sore. After a few sessions, when I actually got to the boulder, I did that move really quickly. What was cooler is I could do it like 8 times in a session and shoulders would feel fine the next day. Mm. So it was like amazing. That was like an eye-opening difference. And obviously in general, I'd got stronger from like all the condition we'd scheduled in, but the specificity
was that was all off the wall strength and conditioning work.
Yeah. So I've always actually done quite a lot of conditioning working with Ollie, and it's definitely, I think, translates well to the style I climb.
And what sort of just for anyone listening, what sort of thing are you talking about here? Because people were thinking, oh, what's he doing? Weights? Is he doing TRX?
Actually both. There'll be like I do a lot of like external rotations where you like put your elbow on your knee and like rotate your hand upwards. It's
quite hard. So hard, that exercise, isn't it?
Yeah. So I do a lot of those, which feel quite useful.
Yeah.
I do a lot of like picking up a weight, like a weighted shrug as well. I guess that's more your traps. Mm-hmm. But felt like that's always felt quite helpful for me. And then stuff on TRX, we've done like reverse IRITs and things, which can burn quite a lot. But I've always felt like quite translates quite well to the style I climb, which like is often like retracting the shoulder to like try and slow down some moves. So yeah, we kind of done a lot of off wall stuff.
And did you continue that all the way through to the point where you were kind of getting into the last month or so before you came on this trip, or did you then start to drop out the strength and conditioning and just go to the sort of specificity element once you were kind of like preparing for the trip?
So I actually had quite a unfortunate spell preparing for this trip. Essentially that finger like was a pulley strain, but I didn't like properly rest enough to rehab it well, and it kind of turned to some tenosynovitis, like a bit of an inflammation cycle, which really kind of stopped play. I couldn't really do that much on my board, and I hadn't set up my replica at this point. I think in hindsight it would have been good to set the replica of Alphane having just come back from that trip, but I was having a bit of a break and like kind of resetting myself. But yeah, actually I was having a spell on my board where I could only really climb on like really big open hands on my left hand. And actually that was up until like maybe like a month before I came out here, which really wasn't ideal. So I was doing a lot of conditioning, and that would be like weight pull-ups. I was doing like a strength power kind of training, because that has worked quite well for me. I'm not very powerful as a climber, so it's kind of creeping that in. And I mean, I don't use it so much on this climb, but just generally I do a lot of strength within those sessions anyway. So just generally getting body a bit stronger. And another thing I could do as well is like hold like really flat open holds. And I was doing like body tension foot walks. And that was really good for just like really pressing weight into my feet, and was something I could do with my finger. And then I'd set up this replica, but couldn't really climb on it. And then maybe like 3 weeks before I came out here, about 3 weeks, I got COVID, which I haven't had before, which was quite unfortunate. And I was wiped out by it. I had like maybe 5 days of doing nothing. I was really like quite wrecked by it. And it was probably like, it was a long, I didn't want to push it because of like the research put into like long COVID, if you don't rest enough. But in that time, I was doing like mono, like, density hangs with my injured finger with like quite a low intensity, like day on day off kind of thing. And that like 10 day rest or whatever I had when I was isolating, and like I was like kind of doing very very light stuff, but like really low intent, like it would be mostly finger stuff, so I wasn't targeting big muscle groups. I was like recovering properly, was actually all I needed for my finger. And when I got back from that, I think I had like, no, maybe I had 2 weeks from when I was kind of feeling better from that, and like feeling like I think it was like 2 weeks before the trip when I could actually start climbing again. My finger was actually feeling really good. So I had a replica set where the left hand holds were all a bit bigger, and like flatter and open. And so in like the last 2 weeks for this trip, ideally I'd have had like a lot longer, like kind of being able to build up and specify that, but needs must. And I kind of like was able to train the rest of my body with like an open left hand. And then kind of like the last few days before this trip, I could start like closing up on my left hand. So when I got out here, it was still a bit of an unknown. My fingers did feel quite creaky the first day I was on it. I was like, oh, I don't really know if I can push this. But I did like I was doing the moves okay, and the undercut move, which is like near the start, which is kind of like the deal breaker move as to whether your like fingers are going to hold up on your left hand, because all the other moves are quite open handed on the left hand. Anyway, this kind of like felt just about okay. Like I was like, I could do the move, okay, and it didn't really hurt. It was a bit strange, like coming into it, because you spend a lot of time on the hold and it was feeling a bit uncomfortable. But the nature of projecting something, you rest a lot. It's day, well, we've been day on, day off since we got here. And just every session, my fingers have felt less and less tweaky. So it hasn't actually been an ideal preparation. It's definitely not like the flawless prep I'd have hoped for. But definitely did the best we could with the hand dealt, and it worked out okay.
Yeah, I always think it's remarkable how often a lot of the time it's a case of just keeping on the bike, keeping motivated, doing something, but doing something with a degree of intention to what you're aiming for. And as long as you're the type of climber or athlete that's put in the time over the years and you've got a lot of the groundwork done, you can make up a lot more than you think you can. Like I've had it myself on trips where it's just been a bit of a disaster and things just haven't gone right. But I stay really, really motivated. I do a couple, like 9 out of 10 of the other bases that I would do anyway if I was preparing for the trip. But I maybe do like an extra bit of effort because I'm missing one unit that I've, the one thing that I kind of would like to work on. And it all sort of just adds up and it works out okay. And I always want to say to people, don't expect perfection. You can still achieve a lot off a sort of, a purposeful mess. You can, you can make it work.
Yeah. No, definitely. Like I think there's definitely a lot to be learned from this bit. And I did have a moment setting up for this trip when it was kind of the point where I was like, oh, like we ended up organizing it quite last minute. But like during that time when I had COVID and like I was like, wow, I'm going to be going away in like 2.5 weeks and I like can barely like function. I was like, I've like up until now, my fingers felt awful. Like I haven't been able to close up on any holds and like, and that's been the case for like 2 months. And so I feel terrible on my board or like, I don't feel like I kind of, there was bits I was working on, like my body tension was actually really good, but it was hard to like understand that because I couldn't hold the holds I could usually hold. So like there was things that I knew I was getting stronger. Like you say, there's other factors, but like just my point of contact with my left hand, I was like, I can't even like really understand like how well I will climb if this was good, just because it's quite hard to know how it coordinates. So I was like sitting there at that time just thinking, like I was at home in the Lake District, like thinking, contemplating whether it was actually worth me like coming out even. And then like, yeah, obviously like everything worked out in the end, but it definitely felt like far from perfect, but in the last little phase, definitely everything like just fell into place. I felt quite fortunate that, injuries are so complex and that they're something that never feels very linear in how much they progress, and mine just like picked up perfectly at the right time. I've been feeling really good.
And I remember when I saw your trip proposal for you and Will, the first thing I thought, I went, oh my goodness, this is great. They're both going together. And I know that both of you have, I think pretty much everyone that's listening will know both of your pedigree in terms of the climbing that you've both done, especially in over the last couple of years, some of the very, very hard boulders that you've established. But we've never really seen you kind of team up a little bit more and come and try something together. What kind of catalyzed that whole thing for you to go and try it together? Was it just coincidence or what? What did you get out of it as well?
Yeah, no, it's a good question, because I climbed a lot with Will when years ago when we both did youth comps.
Back in the day.
And then we actually followed really similar journeys. We both stepped away from comps not dissimilar time really, and like committed to this outdoor climbing thing. And I actually don't really climb that much with other climbers. I have done a bit, and I know people in Sheffield and things, but most of the climbing I do or training I do is often by myself. So it's like I don't usually I don't often like team up with people, and I have in the past like gone on trips. So like when I came out in spring, the first like couple of weeks of my 2 month trip was with my friends Jim and Sam as well. But like it was like basically it felt really natural in that like I've obviously known Will this whole time, and like I've always gotten on really well with him. I really like him. And it was like, oh, we're kind of doing the same thing now. We're like, we're full-time outdoor climbers. And it had taken me a little while for that to like me to like really understand that. And we're doing very similar things. He's obviously like at a really high level. We're like functioning on like similar problems. And like, it's quite rare that in the UK, there's not many like full-time outdoor boulderers or outdoor climbers. And just in the world, there's not many people that like can function on the way level that Will is. And so that's quite nice to like be functioning on like the same level as someone. Like you can like share ideas and methods, get inspired by similar things. Like, and it's quite like a nice, it's nice to be around anyway. And so how did it work? He basically lives between Edinburgh and Sheffield, mostly in Sheffield, but he comes from Edinburgh. So he drives past the Lake District where I'm based. And so on some of his up and down journeys, he swung by the lakes and we had some sessions in the Lake District, just climbing outside. He's over the past like year repeated a bunch of like the hard boulders that I've put up there.
That must have been nice as well.
Yeah, it's been really nice to see them get some attention. I mean, the lakes can be a little bit tucked away, but the style of it as well is often on quite small holds. And he obviously functions incredibly on small holds. So it's been really cool to see him be interested to come and try these as well. So it was nice we got a session in because I'd missed him so many times. Like, we'd just been like ships in the night kind of thing. So we had some sessions in the Lake District, and it was around that time where the video of Alphane came out. And Will obviously hadn't seen the video yet. I'd obviously seen it then, but Will's experience of the climb was really in the early days when it's still quite a concept. And I think it's quite a different thing to get motivated for when, like, at that time the moves hadn't been done. I don't think all the moves had been done at that point. Like, it was still like, maybe this goes, like, it's a bit next level kind of thing. And so he basically had seen that video and he was like, wow, yeah, like, kind of, it paints it in a really different light for me. Like, I'm really psyched for it now. And I obviously had tried it a bunch and was like, yeah, it's something that I'm really psyched for as well. So we were like, should we just go on a trip? And it was really nice. He actually, we climbed, since we decided that we wanted to do that, we climbed with each other a bunch more. Like, he came down to my board in like the last week before we headed, or like a week or so before we headed off. He came down to my, like, to try my replica, which I'd set, because I obviously knew the details of the holds quite well. So like, I like carved some of the whole wooden holds so that like split your fingers in the similar way that the holds do. And he'd set some replicas as well. I didn't actually try many of his, but pardon me, so he had a session there and it was like, we kind of were getting quite motivated together and so we decided to come out together, but it's been really nice so far. It's been cool to see his progression on the boulder as well. Like, he's been like exploring all the methods. I think he's not going to use the method that I used, but he's actually going to use the method Sean used. But his progress on it has been really cool to see as well. Like, he very quickly, he did most of the moves really quickly, and they looked so, like, the move that I actually found the least reliable from the start, and he basically do a big move off an undercut, looks like the easiest move on it for him. He looks really casual on it.
It's funny because you're quite different climbers, even though you operate at the same grade, and
Yeah, we climb in incredibly different ways. I've noticed that on like basically there's two moves on it where you're in like quite an intense drop and I'd actually done some practicing for that, and so they actually felt quite steady this trip. But last trip, those two moves were like the desperate moves for me, and like the leg compression moves I was quite reliable on. And then Will got here this trip, and those two drop knees in were so casual for him. Like, they were like, just like he'd never fall off them. But then the clamp moves he like really struggled with. So it was kind of like, yeah, we're very different in the way we climb. Yeah, like really radically different, but seem to gravitate to remarkably similar problems. Considering, I feel like we climb in very different ways, but function on very similar style of pieces of rock.
It's that classic thing of make your body and the way in which you have all your tools, whether it's physical tools, mental tools, tactical tools, whatever they are, but make them fit the demands of what you're trying to do. You bring your if you're going to sort of make it in a sort of an algebraic sense, you bring your A game, your C game, and your F game at absolute max, and Will brings his B and his D game, but they both work. For the same thing.
It's a nice way of putting it.
and did you find that when you were on this trip and working things together that you were constantly sort of like playing things off with each other and going, oh, I just saw that little tweak there. Have you tried this? Or I noticed this, or I watched you. Like, how did that work? That sort of teamwork element to it in this trip?
Yeah, there was definitely there's definitely things that we've, because I'd actually originally tried the moves. I'd experimented a lot with the moves in different ways. I didn't just like find this way and was like, yes, this is definitely the way, and I commit to it. I experimented a lot with them. So I had a lot of ideas of how they could be done. And so I think it's been helpful sharing it with Will in that, like, I've kind of like thought a lot about like the intricacies of like the moves or where I stand on the footboards, where it feels best. And so I think there's things which have been helpful in that sense. And then actually, I'm just trying to think, I know there was at least one. I feel like there was, yeah, I think it was just one. There's like an intermediate for like one of the moves, which I'd never used in the past. And when Will was trying the move, he was initially going to the intermediate and then practicing going again. And I actually, that was the end way I ended up doing it. It just felt a little bit more reliable in the end. And a move which like there was a bit more, like when you got too extended, there was a bit more of a chance for error. So like he definitely contributed to the way I climbed it as well. So I definitely think it was quite, there's quite a bit of like mutual benefit for us working together. And it's also so much more motivating, you know, like when you like, when you work on it yourself and you kind of like have a really good go, it's like, oh yeah, that's like really exciting. And then you rest for, I don't know, when you're doing it, like goes from the start, rest for like 20 minutes. And you just like kind of, I mean, it's not a bad place. You look at like the autumnal leaves and all the chestnuts scattered around, the sun around the valleys. But like, you're like, it's a lot more fun when like you kind of like have your go. And you like kind of get a bit excited about that, and then you've got like the other person like who's getting motivated, and you kind of like encourage them, and like it's a lot easier to motivate yourself when you're both like invested in something and in the other person's experience with something as well. So it's been really nice to see that, and yeah, it's felt very positive. And I mean, he's functioning really well in it. It looks like.
I mean, yeah, like you're always going to get the most enthusiastic possible listener and agreeer on this topic, because I've climbed with Pete for, you know, 13 years or so and had an absolutely freaking amazing partnership. And I think there is, like, it's just so much to be had from climbing partnerships, if you can get the balance just right, where you sort of become a sum greater than the parts, and I think that's very, very possible. You just don't see it loads in climbing, especially like right at the elite end. You see people sort of going off on their own track, and they don't necessarily come together and sort of follow the same things. But it's so nice to watch both of you doing this and going, oh, I'm really hoping they're getting something good out of this, because I personally value it a lot.
Yeah. No, I think nicely put. No, I definitely think there's a lot to be taken away from it. And it's just fun as well. Like in project mode, you kind of rest a lot. Maybe you have 3-hour session every other day. Like, yeah, it's nice to have someone to laugh around with and have a joke and cook your dinner with. It's definitely been a very positive experience.
And how does I know you referenced at the start the kind of the 7C plus exit kind of traverse section along the crack in terms of kind of grades of breakdown. And I know that Will, I think just yesterday or the day before, did the 8C link and then was getting very close to the 8C plus link. So can you kind of break it down in terms of how do all those parts work in the problem?
Yeah, so I haven't thought so much about like the grades of the individual links, but I kind of know what Will was referencing. I think there's like a very obvious breakdown in the boulder. You essentially do like the first 4 moves, which are like they're on edges, and like you basically reach a right hand edge and then like left hand reaches up into an undercut, and then you have to do like some foot moves. There's like 3 foot moves, and then you readjust that left hand undercut, and that's quite hard to get that hold well, and that sets you up for like these 2 like right hand moves. And when you get to this point, it's kind of like a very basic problem, and I think they originally or the people who were working on it originally, like Sean and Daniel and that group of people, originally broke it down as like maybe like about an 8B plus or an 8C to there, and then from there to like the crack system was like an 8C or an 8C plus. I mean, obviously grading in general is quite subjective, but
yeah,
obviously that would break down into like, I know it's a weird climb in that because it is quite complex. Obviously it's physical, but there's a lot of subtleties to it. I think Sean spoke a little bit about it in the video. He said like basically by the end, like the move kind of felt pretty easy in like the set, and like maybe it's 8B plus into 8C. I actually found the top section, like the top half of that boulder, way more reliable for me than the bottom half. Basically for me, if I did the bottom half and then got the hole, like I basically do a little bump into the back of the hole. And if I got that well, it was kind of like, oh, this strip especially, it was kind of like, oh, now it's kind of on. And that top section was kind of like, felt like it was like, if I got there, it felt like I had a pretty good chance of getting through that top boulder. So for me, maybe that top boulder was even easier than the bottom one. But it's kind of, or more reliable perhaps. It's kind of like hard to give them specific grades. And like I kind of so since I like have announced that I did it, it was only yesterday that I did it, not most of the feedback, I had very positive feedback thanks to all the climbing community. It's been really nice. But I've had a lot of people just private message me like the community wants to hear about the grades, like it's your responsibility to talk about the grade. Which I mean, like, yeah, maybe it's something I should think about or comment on a little bit, but also like that was a decision of like a collective where all like the individuals in that collection of people all have vastly more experience of like international bouldering than I do. So like I don't think I'm the most credible source to comment on that. But it's also something I hadn't thought about whilst I was trying it that much. But yeah, supposedly the breakdown, first 4 moves, 8B plus, 8C, into the next 4 moves being 8C or 8C plus. It definitely, like, I had the same feeling as Sean by the time, like, before I did it, or like, basically I had a really condensed experience from when I was here in spring. I had like I had 4 sessions initially this trip, and the first session I was kind of like relearning the moves, and I was kind of like, whoa, they're kind of hard. And then the second session I did the supposed top boulder link, and then I think, did I do the bottom boulder link? I might have done the bottom boulder then. Oh no, I don't think I tried it then. The third session, like, I did the link. Oh yeah, the third session I did the link from 2 moves in, which I think is what Will might be referring to as the 8C plus link.
Yeah.
And then the fourth session, I kind of went there thinking like, oh, maybe I'll just do that again. Maybe I didn't quite feel ready for like send goes. And I was like, oh, I'll work for the bottom first. And then I worked through the bottom and I like kind of just kept climbing, and it was a bit surreal. And anyway, like, and my foot ended up popping off like kind of a couple of moves from the better holds. And I was like, whoa, that kind of like snuck up on me. But my red point goes weren't as good after that. And then the fifth session, I like kind of warmed up, and the move, I like kind of pulled on for the second boulder, and like kind of the moves had never felt so easy. The holds felt really good, and like I felt really reliable in it. And then I went from the start, and yeah, kind of just nothing went wrong. But like the moves, yeah, like the actual like experience of climbing, I've never had a climb that has gone from like the individual moves feeling hard to like the individual moves and the whole climb itself feeling like pretty steady, or like up until I got to the better holds, like it didn't feel like the physical sensation in my body didn't feel like I'd done a hard climb, which is quite a surreal experience. And maybe that's like meant to be the case when you do something hard, because it's an indicator you've done everything right. But it was crazy. Yeah. It didn't feel hard in the end. But I think, yeah. I think it probably is.
I think there's, it's funny because I feel often there's a sort of a cultural, I don't know if it's cultural, but a sort of obsession with the fact that things have to feel hard to be hard. And it's totally okay for some things that are hard to feel hard and some things that are hard to not feel hard.
Yeah.
It depends on the individual, on the day, how they prepared. The two aren't sort of mutually exclusive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, and, I agree with that.
And then you feel yourself getting uneasy when something does go very, very well and it feels okay, and you can be led into questioning.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's kind of what I had, because like for me, a couple of years ago, I never thought that I'd climb a 9A graded problem. And like, I have very little experience, like functional anything on this level. I've tried very few 8C pluses around the world. Like, most, like the ones that I've done have been ones which I've worked on myself. So it's like, I don't feel very like I have much to say about it. And like you say, with this experience, like I'm like repeating a problem which somebody else has done. And I very much trust the judgment of those people over my own experience on it, just because I don't entirely like, I've done like 8As where I've tried to the absolute living end. And like, if I was going to purely base things on how hard they feel, like, I don't know, climbing would not be in a good way right now. Like, it's like, I think it's like, it's a really, I understand why people ask it, because like, it's grades are a way in which like people can relate to feats of anyone all over the world. And it's like meant to like standardize maybe people's understanding of climbing, but like it's a lot to, yeah, I don't feel like I have much to say on the matter, in that like it didn't feel too hard for me when I did it, but I know from the like amount of effort that I put into doing it that it is hard. It didn't feel hard the go I did it, or like the moves felt like relatively effortless, but I think it's because actually everything went to plan. And I know they are hard because I've seen like the best boulder. Boulder is better than I like have a hard time on the moves. Like I know like it is a hard boulder.
I think it's from my perspective, and I've seen some of the kind of comments that are coming on our end from on the Lattice DMs and things get commented back on stories and very similarly, lots and lots of questions around the grade and everything like that. But also I felt like a little bit of a misunderstanding around people thinking that you've sent it super quick and you've just had a few sessions. And I think they're forgetting that this isn't just one trip and there isn't a whole load of preparation that goes on behind the scenes. And I suppose in some ways it's just the nature of maybe the media, the bits of information that people do pick up on, and it's just how it is. And all you can ever really do is be as truthful as you can about your experience and what you felt, and people have to respect that. And there'll be other people come along. I mean, Will's on it right now, and he'll have an opinion very shortly. So
yeah. But like it is, it's hard. It's hard to comment. Maybe I have to try some more climbs around this level. I also maybe it's just very soon. I haven't thought about it that much. But
yeah, I think it's good. I think it's good to let it brew and and give it time. And I also think that an obsession over specific grades and things like it's just,
it's like retrospective stress, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
I put in a lot of work to the process and it's been rewarding throughout. And it feels like now, like there's kind of not really a necessity to dwell on like the technicalities of how a piece of rock is then documented or perceived by the rest of the world. Like that rock is not changing at all. And like the thing that I did is not changing. Like, so it feels quite strange to put so much emphasis on like, retrospectively, like trying to determine the value of scaling a piece of rock. But anyway, I'm getting a bit ranty.
there's nothing wrong with the rant at all. I mean, all I can say is that I'm very glad that I'm a trad climber, because if the amount of focus went on the grade as it does typically in the very hard bouldering, it would drive me absolutely crazy. Like I probably put about 0.5% of thought into the whole grading thing in relation to it. For me, it's like, it's the adventure, it's the experience, it's the quality of the line, it was who was there with. It's just so much more than the grade. And if I was having to, you know, answer an interview just banging on about this exact grade thing, it almost feels like it could take away from it a little bit. So I will not push you any further on that.
That's music to my ears, Tom.
Yeah, don't worry, I get it. I totally get it. And probably loads of people listening are about, but Lattice is obsessed with grades. That's all they ever think about. Benchmarks. Like, well, it's a part, but don't overly get wound up by it.
It's data, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing I wanted to sort of ask you about as well is what's kind of, before we kind of get into questions of that everyone's wanting me to ask you, and I'm not going to ignore that at all, is what stuff are you kind of getting on with the trip now? Like you've obviously done something really hard, you've been really, really satisfied with that, and you know, that kind of reward of putting a load of effort in and get something out of it. I imagine you've got a certain amount of time that you're putting into supporting Will on his efforts of trying to do the problem, but I'm guessing you looking at some other repeats or first ascents. What's your thoughts going forward?
Yeah, so I didn't set out a list of things that I wanted to do after doing this, just because I didn't want to be like thinking about this Alphane and being like, oh, like I've got to, like I didn't want to be like, I want to try everything else and this is holding me back kind of thing. So I like refrained from like setting any like post Alphane goals, but I'm in like this like Ticino or like this area of Switzerland that is feels to just have like endless projects, like kind of like, or like not even, well, endless projects, and like it feels like just a fraction of things have been climbed, and there's like, I feel like there's just so many things which I'm already inspired by, and there are a lot of things that I'd like to repeat. It's quite hot at the moment, and we're not far from Gotthard Pass, which has, there's a climb called Stairway to Heaven, which is I think one of the things I'm most keen to do, which is like a beautiful like compression prow, kind of like an amazing location in the mountains. And there's a few things I'd like to try up there, which could be a good option whilst it's warmer and whilst we're on rest days. But fortunately, there's also like, because Will, well, unless he does it very quickly, which is a legitimate possibility. There's like a, in the same cave that Alphane goes, Alphane kind of tracks left through this crack system. There's a project which goes like directly right out the roof this way. And for me, like I tried it like in spring at a session figuring out the moves. And there's a lot more, there's like more moves, or like there's more hard moves. The total thing is probably a similar length, but more of the moves are hard, and the individual moves also feel like almost a bit like they feel harder as well. So I think that thing's like properly next level. It feels pretty next level for me, but it's nice to like kind of like put some time into. That's what I tried. So I did Alphane yesterday and I tried that today, because Will was having another session on Alphane. And it was actually nice to like initially the start of the session, I was quite flat, which I've had actually post doing something that I've been really invested in after I did Isles. The session I had afterwards, I was like really flat and like kind of not really sure what I was inspired by, and kind of like was a bit unmotivated, demotivated. I wasn't very motivated. Anyway, I kind of had that at the start of this session. I was like, well, this is beyond me. Like, kind of like I'm not really making any progress. And then like kind of like rested a little bit, ate a sandwich, kind of churned out a little bit, supported Will. He was having a really good session, and then got back on it. Maybe that's a little thing of like linking up together. Like, it was cool. He was really psyched. He had a really promising session today. And I was feeling quite psyched then, and jumped on this thing again with like, I was just trying different, loads of different methods, and then found a method which worked well for me, and like got really like, I got really like motivated again, and like got a bit of like that spark back. So I'm feeling really positive. I'm really keen to try that, or like I'm keen to try that a bit more. I feel it's very ambitious. Like, I have no expectations of like doing it this trip. And there's also a lot of other things I'd like to do, but like, it's been really nice to like try it. And I enjoy that like kind of puzzling process and like putting in the groundwork for something that, yeah, maybe I can do in the future. But it works quite well. Whilst Will's trying Alphane, I can scurry about on the right hand side, just trying to figure out some sequence.
Mega. And how many days have you got left?
We've got about 3 weeks, I think 20 days. So,
oh, it's got good amount of time, haven't you?
Yeah, I think we're out here for 4 weeks, and we're about a quarter of the way through.
Well, it's kind of once again, congratulations on the line, the climbing, and you should have seen it yesterday in the office here when the rumor went round internally, and
I was amazed by I didn't know how the people had found out, because I told you and I told Ollie and then it seemed like, yeah, but that makes sense. Everyone was I didn't know how people had found out about it, but
it's our work chat group, and I'd written it like, do not say anything anywhere publicly.
It's all messages to me.
Everyone was like sending like rocket ships and fire emojis and everything like that. So it kept us happy back here in the UK. And I think it was raining yesterday and it's like grim and dark. And we were just like thinking of you and Will out in Switzerland doing well. So it got us psyched. So we're very happy. Dad. Yeah, very happy for you.
Oh, that's nice. No, thanks for that.
Should we answer a few audience questions?
Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good.
And then I'll let you go and get some beauty sleep. Ready for next session.
Forced rest now. We've got a storm on its way.
Oh, yeah, you did say. Yeah, I remember that. Okay, right. Let's have a look down this list. I don't think it's too controversial. I can't see the letters 9A or V17 here at all.
You can ask me these questions. I'm like, oh my God, another rant. I'll like brush them off or something.
But we've got about 15 questions just to gauge how long you answer. So you don't have to do really long answers.
I'll be a bit quicker. Yeah, I'm not very good at concise.
I mean, everyone will enjoy it. So it's all how much time you want to do on the questions and how controversial they are. Okay, so first one is what's your approach or on balance of repeats versus FAs?
Oh, good question. I did think about this a lot. I think I thought about things that I have done, and I think I actually have quite a significant, I think it's quite significant, like the satisfaction I feel from first ascent. And I kind of suspect that that's like, maybe it feels like it's some contribution to climbing, whereas like, because I know I've seen like the problems which like people who have been inspiring for me have done in the past have like stood as like testament, like, or stood as like kind of like really inspiring features for me. So like maybe I'd like watch like Daniel do some crazy hard things in Colorado and I was like, yes, that bit of rock is amazing. I'm going to go and like pitch myself against that. And like, that has like really like given me so much passion within the sport and like has facilitated amazing experiences. And so I think it's kind of feels nice. Like when I have done first ascents, it feels like it's not just like a feat, but you like contribute like a problem to like onto the radar of climbers. And so like, it feels like a bit of like contribution to climbing, which is quite nice. It's nice to reciprocate for something that I've always been so grateful for.
Yeah, I like that sentiment. Yeah, that's cool. Same kind of question again, but for how you've approached projecting versus what we call a sort of mid-grade mileage ticking of building a sort of big base of experience and what that's looked like over your journey, you know, over the last, I don't know how long this person's asked for, but let's say last sort of 5-10 years, what's that balance?
It's taken me a long time to invest in like projecting stuff. Alphane's the thing I've had most sessions on. Don't really know how many. I think I maybe had like, I was over 12 back in spring. And then it was 50 this time. It's probably like best part of 20 days, which is a lot more than anything else I've spent time on. And the things that I have spent time on often have been dispersed over like a period of like years. So I've never really just invested in that. I'm just trying this and delving right into the intricacies and specificities of just trying one thing. So in the past I've been way more like mid-grade mileage, and like I look at some of like the tick lists of like the memories I have of like when I was in Rocklands back in 2018. I was a comp climber, so I had a crazy work capacity at the time, far like I have an awful work comparably now. I look at the list of the problems that I did back then and it was like insane. I feel like I'd be climbing, like looking at that list, I must have been climbing for like 8 hours and like still climbing like 8Bs at the end of it, and I'm like, I can't do that these days. So like I think in the past I used to just be able to like keep going at like a pretty high intensity for a really long time. Whereas now I think I'm much better at like the cutting edge stuff. but my sessions and like my volume is so much lower. In context to that question, more recently I've actually found a lot of satisfaction from being very specific at something like really near my like limit, and it feel or like working I think it's working at a level where I require the detail and like understanding of the climb, where I have to be really specific and I have to like climb it really well. I find that really satisfying, and I don't think you have that quite as much on mid-grade mileage, or like stuff which like is like comfortably below your limit. It's really fun, and there's obviously a lot of problems that I like to do in that style, but I've definitely in more recent times found a lot of satisfaction of that, like my top level.
I always have the opinion that both are, you know, hugely important parts of the equation. It's not like one's better or more effective than the other.
Cycle through them.
Okay. Next question is, what things have you trained in this past year that you felt, and I know we did talk about this a little bit in the interview just a second ago, but what things you felt like had the biggest impact on Alphain, like what things had the biggest impact on that project or on Rock? So I guess the person's asking, what training things actually transferred to Rock? Because lots of people always go, does it transfer? I do loads of these things and it just never seems to pan out. I think they're sort of asking your specific experience in this.
And we're not going to include replica training as that.
You could just say it's just.
I think it is great. Like that level of specificity, I think, has been flipping amazing.
Yeah.
I think for this climb, definitely working a lot on body tension, where I was talking about that, those foot walks have been really good for me. Just in like really drilling home like the constant pressure in the feet, and like kind of that has been really helpful. I felt like I've been able to really drive through my feet, which has felt really important in this. But definitely this year, the theme of this year was like for things near my limit, like that specificity of creating a replica has felt invaluable. And I've never really done it that much before, but it's felt good.
And for the record, when you're doing those foot walk exercise, how many sort of foot positions are you doing once? Like what's your time under tension on the wall for each kind of rep?
It'll usually be about like 10-12 foot moves. And I have like a feet follow board. So sorry to all those who have their specific foot jibs, but I find the feet follow really useful because I like create sequences with my feet, which aren't just like pressing down on footholds. It's like a lot of like compressing between your feet, like your ankles end up like being out, like they need to like flex and like maintain tension. And it's like very, it's much more complex, like the movement of it. So I have like, I guess like footwork boulders, which on my board, which like I have like practiced like certain skills and like applying weights with different like rotations of my hips and things. And maybe like 10-12 foot move boulders on really comfy holds. And I have a series of those different foot move boulders, which like I'll cycle through from my sessions, and I'll vary it quite a lot.
Yeah. Well, you heard it here, folks. When you hear people talking about their footwork boulders.
Yeah, there you go.
they heard it off Aiden. I'd love to see that in the future. People just talking about, I ticked my footwork boulder today.
Yes. I'll give that 9A.
Another sort of training type question. How many days a week do you typically train?
I probably usually would have 2 days where I don't really do any, I'd do some stretching and things, but I won't be doing like finger intensive training. I'll have like 2 days where I won't be working my fingers. It depends how I like end up scheduling it. Sometimes like I won't have like a complete rest day, but I will be very like, I'm usually very careful in that, like, much how like powerlifters and things will like schedule their training, so they might do like legs and like don't know what the classic ones, back and biceps or something. Yeah. Like they might like schedule their training so that they like might not have that many rest days, but like it's always, there's not much crossover.
Yeah, rotates around the body.
Yeah, if I'm not having those like full rest days, like, and I am training every day, there won't be like too much crossover. So I'm usually quite careful about that.
Next question is, how long do you, or on this particular project on Alphane, how long were you resting between attempts when you start to kind of, you know, properly go for it for big links and actual red points? I think you might have said 20 minutes, but I can't quite remember.
Yeah, it depends quite a lot. I can't, this time round, which is probably where most people are most interested, I'm like probably not very, I can't really answer it because I essentially kind of surprised myself with my first red point burn when I was meant to be just working the bottom. And then the next session when I did it was the first go of the day. So like, I was resting, like I'd usually, it depends how far I get. If I get pumped, then it will be a really long time. Also, if I would get pumped, I usually wouldn't just rest and then go into it. I'd like rest a bunch and then like kind of pull on individual moves. And for some reason, I feel like if I've been really pumped and I just rest for like, I don't know, 40 minutes or something and then pull back on, I don't feel great. But if I will like rest for like half an hour, do like a few individual moves and then rest for 10 minutes, I might feel really good. So like really long rests, like I'd never rest that long if I was having like a board session or something. But I also don't like to rest. It's been okay. Usually if it was colder, I wouldn't rest for quite as long. Mm-hmm. It's quite warm at the moment, so it's okay. I don't cool down that much. It's a case of like resting a long time helps me cool down because it is hot. But when it's cold, I usually have less rest just because I can get cold quite easily.
Yeah. Okay. In your projecting strategy, how well do you expect to have individual moves kind of dialed before you personally go, right, I'm now going to start calling this links and putting it together? Like, does it have to feel like 9 out of 10? So like 10's your absolute limit, you're sort of almost like falling off the move. Is it a 9? Is it an 8? Is it 7? Or is it, it's sort of quite a nuanced factor? When do you go for it, start going for it?
I have quite a high standard of it, so I don't like to do it until the moves feel like I've understood them enough that I can do them reliably, or maybe not reliably, but like I can execute them reliably. And the factor to fail is my physical strength, as opposed to like the physical strength making links, as opposed to like the factor to fail is like me missing a trick within the move. So I've usually got quite a high standard of myself in that, like, I like to make sure that I understand the moves before I start like linking things into them properly. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does.
Sweet.
Next question is about replicas, but we've definitely spoken about that already. How long do you think, I'm going to put you on the spot now. I did see this question earlier, but I've forgotten it's already here, so I'm in it. How long do you think it will be before Will does it? I hope he's not listening.
No, he's in the other room.
Go on, make your guess.
What date is it today? The 20th. I reckon I'll have done it by the end of the month.
Okay, so 10 more days.
I think he's got a good shot.
Okay. We'll...
Yeah. I've got faith in Will. Yeah, he's looking good.
Good. How does this compare to, I mean, I know I'm going to slightly reword this question because otherwise it's too annoying to answer. Burden and Dreams and Alphane are both 9A bolt problems.
Mm-hmm.
Which you've tried and you have direct experience of. What do you think is the limiting factor on Burden of Dreams for you over Alphane? Because they're obviously very, very different bold problems, and we know that.
Yeah, incredibly different boulders. There's a few things. I think partly when I went to go and try Burden of Dreams, I don't think I was climbing particularly well. which I think is a big role. I'd quite like to try it, like when I am going on like fighting fit form. It'd be quite interesting to see how it feels then. But I think like Alphane, like I spoke about before, has the freedom to adapt it to the style in which you like to climb. Whereas it felt like Burden didn't have that option. I think partly because it's shorter, the rock is very slick, so it kind of like limits you from like playing around with that too much. And so I think there's like, there's way less places to hide. And Burden, I really do think, exposed a lot of the weaknesses that I spoke about, having pretty crap power before. It's definitely like one of my limitations, and you can't hide from that on Burden. So I think Burden really didn't suit me as well as I thought. I think Alphane definitely suits me a lot better. And I think any weakness you have which doesn't line up with Burden will be like shown to you quite quickly, which is quite cool. Like, it's something I'm quite keen to work on, and it's nice to find a problem which shows it so well, because it doesn't always happen. Usually you can hide behind your superpowers and kind of make something work, because there are usually a lot of options when you climb outside. Yeah. So I guess people are most interested in terms of difficulty. I assume that's kind of what the question was, to a certain degree. And it is very hard. It is very hard for me to say, because they are like so different, like the styles in which they climb. For me, I definitely feel like I was a lot further away from doing Burden, and feel like I have a lot of work to put into it. I guess I'll be able to put more insight into it when I've like, I haven't really been able to train specifically for that, with a finger tweaking things. And I initially got the replica set up in like midsummer. So I haven't had like a spell where I can like focus on training on it, which is my plan when I get back from this trip, to put some time into it, providing all the digits are healthy. And so maybe after that and a trip over to Finland, we can have another recap and I can shed some more light on these problems.
Keep everyone waiting until then.
Yeah, sorry about that. Unsatisfactory answer, perhaps.
Oh, there is no right answer on these things. I can tell you an even more, I don't know if there's more controversial, but an even better question. Even this one, I'm kind of interested about. How do you feel that this very hard shorter problems in the UK that you've established in that 8C plus range, you know, things like aisle sit, superpowers, etc., fit in relation to Burden? Is it a solid step below? Do you feel like the UK grades are flying under the radar?
No, I feel like I feel like they feel fair. Like, as in, I think Burden's a bit of an anomaly. Like, the 9A grade is very elusive. So grading something 9A was like, the thing that the 8C pluses I have tried around the world, Alphane feels like a level above. Or like it feels like, maybe not, it feels definitely feels harder than the things that I have tried, which have been graded 8C plus. Short 8C pluses I've tried, which are like kind of the moves are like the difficulty of it. Burden does feel a level above, definitely feels a level above. I guess like, I think partly the nature of the climb felt like, I mean, if I found an 8B plus, which like exposed my weaknesses as far as Burden did, I have no doubt. I kind of feel like it's one of the cool things about climbing, really. Like, there are generalists, but like all of us, nobody's like a perfect generalist. I don't reckon there's a single boulder in the world that could climb every 8B plus. Like, there's like, or maybe even every 8B, I don't know. Like, if you find something which like exposes your weakness enough, we're like, we all crap in some way. And so like, it's very hard for me to compare to Burden. Like, I'm obviously not totally crap in that style, but like, it feels like definitely exposed something that wasn't good. I wasn't very good at. And that's very different to the things that I have done in the UK. I think like comparing the things I've done in the UK to things I've tried abroad, I'd say that like I tried to make them relatively fair. That was my intention when I was grading them. I definitely, when I was younger, I had like the idea of like, it's kind of like, there's pride in like giving slightly stern grades to things, but
yeah.
I don't know, like we're all trying to like, I don't know, do I give our best guess for a fair representation of how hard something is? So yeah, I just try and be as fair as I can with them, I guess.
FAs are so hard to grade anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know whether, I never think people just get enough credit for just how difficult it is to do. I personally think it's a nightmare in all styles.
I feel it is like, it is important, but it's a shame how important it feels to everyone. Or it feels like the most important thing to everyone else. And I think you kind of mentioned it before, but like, it's not that like all of that feedback detracts from the experience, but it feels like it kind of like, I don't know, it feels like, it places the emphasis elsewhere to like the fact you've achieved something you've invested a lot of time into. And it's like almost like, I don't know, that's brushed aside a little bit. So I like, even though I know it's not negative feedback, I always find it like when I just get like people like pestering. Okay, I'm not going to use that pestering me out again. When I get people like who are solely just interested in the grades, I find myself, I'm a bit like, I'm deflated by those comments. And like, not, I know that's probably something for me, like maybe it's something that I know I should like maybe put some more effort into. But and like, it's my least favorite part of developing boulders.
And I think it's also for people to, and I'm sure everyone listening also will understand this themselves, if you really think about it, is that your relationship with an ascent, like a problem, boulder, route, whatever it is really different all the way through the journey, from the point where how you feel about it when you're projecting, you haven't done it, to just did it half an hour ago, to I did it a week ago, to I did it 2 years ago. And so your emotion and your feedback and how you want to communicate that, I think is really different, all those different stages along the journey. So naturally, at one point you're going to be, oh yeah, I love talking about the grade and this bit of it. Another bit you're like, no, I just want to talk about how I feel. I want to talk about the experience, and it sucks talking about the grade. I think it's just really normal.
I'm in that phase right now. I've had such a great experience. But yeah, no, that's a nice way of putting it. And like, yeah, you go through like oscillations of like clarity and uncertainty. I've had that over the years with like, because it's something that is like relatively consistent, even if it is like 2 years after you've done something, like
great job. Okay, last question, the biggest question of them all.
Nice. I have no idea what this is going to be.
Oh, he's going to ask me about knee pads or fans or ladders. No, not really. What out there, whether it's in the UK or abroad, is harder than Alphane or Burden? Is there anything that is currently kind of down a level or two, like HC plus, and you're like, actually, I always thought this thing was harder than all of those, and it's just wrongly accredited? Or is there any projects which are currently kind of being worked on, or you've tried a bit, where you're like, I know you did talk about the right hand exit outside of Alphane, which is the next levels up, but I'm sure people, I mean, I know one person is because they asked it, what's the next level up from that?
Oh, like the next level in bouldering above like those,
whether
kind
it's
of things.
Already been established potentially, or it's being worked on.
So definitely the two hardest things I have tried have been, or the hardest thing that I've tried that have been done are Alphane and Burden. I for me, this right hand exit Alphane is definitely feels harder than Alphane. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not for everyone. But like in terms of like the limit of the sport, I feel like we are so far away. Like even with like the physical ability we currently have, I feel like we're so far away from the limits of what can be done. So like I was kind of speaking, and it feels like Sean had a similar experience on this climb. Like when we learned the moves and we were executing everything pretty perfectly, like it felt relatively effortless. And I think that like when we both like watching Sean, it looked pretty easy. It looked pretty effortless for him. And I kind of have had a similar experience on this climb, that like when we were like ready to do it. But I think theoretically, to learn a move and execute it perfectly, a move can still be feel flipping really hard. And say you have 8 of those moves strung together where you execute everything perfectly, and yet even when you've learned it well and you've executed it perfectly, you're like fighting to the living end, or it's so hard. Theoretically, we have the physical like potential. Like even if none of us got any better, we could do that now. Mm. And like, I think amazing. Like Alphane is like, yeah, one of the harder boulders out there. Like that is like not really even nearly there yet. So like, I think it is cool. Like it's almost finding, and you don't really have to look that far to find the rock to provide it. Obviously it varies a lot around the world, but definitely around here in Switzerland, there's a lot which like looks like it's just like it is just that level above. And I think a lot of this the like Giuliano, the local here, and like Sean, he's actually I think arriving this weekend. They're really good for just trying stuff, and the amount of like concept projects they've tried, which are probably like, yeah, they would be 9A plus were they to be done, or like whatever, like they've tried a lot of them. So like they're often pretty game to just go and try these things, which I think is really cool. Like it's definitely like nice to be around that like enthusiasm. So I guess like, is there anything specifically I know of? Well, yeah, they're actually a bunch, but nobody will really know what they are. They're just chunks of rock, which I've gone and looked at, and like around here, like Giuliano showed me a load. I mean, there's even a climb in Scotland that I tried, which, no, actually, that wouldn't be hard and bad. I mean, they are rare in parts of the world. I'm just in a place which feels like the hot spot where they're not that rare. And there's a lot of faces of rock which I think are physically possible, which are far harder than either of those.
Yeah, amazing. Well, plenty to go at. Still a lifetime.
Yeah, plenty to go at. And so I've got 3 weeks. Let's go.
Let's go.
Got the work cut out.
Yeah. Oh, mega. Well, yeah, thanks so much for taking a bit of time out of your evening to do this. I know that we've done this at very short notice. Like literally just did it yesterday, and I hope everyone listening will enjoy it. And do not send Aiden a DM asking him for his great opinion.
I'm gonna get a load in spite now, aren't I? but no, it's been really lovely to be on. It's the first time I've been on the Lattice podcast. Ooh, yeah, but thanks very much.
Hopefully not the last.
yeah, hopefully not the last. And thanks to everyone for sending in the questions as well.
Say good luck to Will from us as well, and over the next few days. I know we chat on WhatsApp and everything like that, but sort of like an official, yeah, give him a
an extra enthusiastic cheer, don't worry.
Yeah, British style.
Go on, mate.
and then move the pad.
Yeah. Very good.
Right. We'll have a good night's sleep, and I know we'll kind of catch up on WhatsApp and stuff.
Perfect. Yeah, lovely to speak to you, Tom. Thanks for taking the time.
Nice one. Well, have a good rest of the evening.
Thank you. Speak to you soon.
Bye. Bye.